The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The supply of rental accommodation at an all-time low. Many college students are fearful that they may be completely unable to take up a course because they won't be able to live near the university, or they'll face extraordinary commutes. Situation has gotten so dire that students are planning to walk around college campuses in protest on October 13th. We're going to speak now with one student who could be faced with commuting from Tralee to Cork this coming year. Mary-Kate Lacey is due to start second year in UCC, but still hasn't found a place to live for the coming year. Good morning, Mary-Kate.
How are you?
I'm very good. Tell us the experience that you've had and what lengths you went to try to get accommodation.
Yeah, so I start college back in about 2 weeks' time. So I right now, my only option is commuting from Tralee up to Cork, which a day it'd be about a 6 hour round trip. I've applied to over 20 privately owned student accommodations. I've gotten onto landlords about renting a room. I've looked at digs. I've exhausted every option and I've just had no luck with it really at all.
What excuses do you get?
So in UCC, I'm not sure how it works with the other colleges, but UCC own between 7 and 8 apartment buildings for students, and you can only apply to one of those apartment buildings, and it's a lottery system. So if you don't get it, you can't apply for the other one. So that automatically cuts out about 7 other options for you. The other excuse I've gotten off landlords is, oh, I've somebody looking at the room and I'll let you know how it goes, or I'll be back in touch with you, or if it doesn't work out, I'll get on to you. And there's not really that many options for digs either at the moment, because as you know, there's an appeal going on across the country for homeowners to rent a room out to a student in colleges across the country. So there's not that many options for digs really, or else the price of the accommodation is just extortionate. Like, I was looking at one for the 35-week period for a bedroom. They were looking for $9,500.
So run that past me again. For a single bedroom for 35 weeks, so not even an entire year, how much?
$9,500 for the 35 weeks.
And this is in somebody's family home?
No, this was in this was in one of the student buildings, student accommodation buildings.
And from the landlords, do you think there is a desire to avoid having students as tenants, or are you just a victim of the same housing crisis that everybody else is?
I think it could be a bit of both like that. I'm not the only student in Cork, let alone the country, that's a part of this housing crisis at the moment. And I think a lot of landlords are going back to privately renting because it's worth their while in the long run, I suppose. And they're renting to students from September to May, and then they're trying to fill it again for the summer months, and a lot of them are going back to privately renting because they just don't want to put up with the hassle that comes with the students, you know.
So what do you think of the prospect of spending 6 hours a day on what, train, bus?
Yeah, train or a bus. I mean, it's right now it's my only option. The last thing I want to do is defer my course, and the last thing I want to do is obviously drop out of my course. So I'll just have to, I suppose right now that's all I can really do, is just do the 6 hour journey every day, go to my lectures, do my assignments. Like, I have a part-time job up in Cork that I worked through all of last semester, and I absolutely love my job up there, but I can't keep my part-time job in Cork because of the commute, and I can't get a job in Tralee because of the commute.
Aoife Gleeson is with us as well. She's Mary Immaculate College Students Union President. Aoife, Mary-Kate said there that she's not the only student in UCC facing these kind of challenges. She's also not the only student around the country facing these kind of challenges. In pretty much every third level institution, we're hearing stories of students who are simply unable to find digs or unable to find accommodation. What's been the experience of the members of your union?
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me. We're experiencing the same thing. The volume of messages and calls we're getting in every day, students, they have no option left but to take a leave of absence or defer their place because, like Mary-Kate, the commute's too long, they can't find any accommodation. We only have one building for student accommodation that is the college-owned accommodation. And we're limited on space here for even trying to get more. It's dire.
And what's been your experience with digs? Because the UCD Student Union did a march the weekend before mm-hmm. last to try to draw attention to the issue of digs. Because whatever about competing to try to find apartments or properties to rent, Years ago, it used to be the norm that students would live in digs. It seems to be a rarity now.
Yeah. Between Mary I and UL and TUS, the three colleges came together and they put a call out to basically every homeowner in Limerick to consider renting out a room. This new the scheme of you can earn up to 14,000 income tax free, you know, but we also encourage affordable housing for students. But we did see a large increase in digs from that, but I suppose it's not the norm now because of students want that student experience of, you know, having fun with their friends, going out, and I think they're afraid that digs isn't gonna offer that to them, even though that's not exactly true. But digs is the short-term solution for now. You know, I say all the time, I'd love to just get down on my hands and knees and build houses for these students, but you know, that's not going to be done right now.
Well, we're joined as well by Professor Shane Kilcummins, who is Provost and Deputy President of the University of Limerick. Shane, from the university's perspective, what impact is this having on the educational quality of experience for the students, but also what kind of pressures are the universities taking on to try to resolve this problem?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Anton, and good morning. And just to say at the outset that what the other two parties on this morning, Mary Kate and the student from MIC, I mean, we're also experiencing similar issues, and the accounts that they've given you there are typical of what we're experiencing. And I guess from our perspective, we would see a university as a life-enhancing experience and a whole quality of life experience, really important in terms of students' career development. It's almost a threshold. And it's not only important in terms of academics, but it's also socially and culturally, you know, contributes to that whole of life experience. So what we're seeing is we're seeing the stressors and the stresses that both Mary Kate and the student from MIC have just documented. So we're seeing that. We're seeing longer commutes. I think that was a very point that was well made by Mary Kate from Tralee to Cork. And obviously, with longer commutes, the risks go up, Anton, in terms of the potential for non-attendance, and then obviously that is going to impact upon progression rates and attrition rates, and it clearly impacts upon that whole of life experience that we were just talking about. So,
and it must also impact on the academics, because with the best will in the world, you can say, well, I'll take out the books and the laptop on the 6-hour train journey and do my studying there, but it's not the same as being in a quiet room where you've access to any files or folders that you might need and you can dedicate headspace to it.
That's completely correct, Anton. It absolutely impacts upon the educational experience and the educational journey. And in many instances, it's frustrating because, and as you'll know, in what we've seen in Ireland in higher education institutions over the last 30 years has been a democratization of education. It's becoming more available to more and more people. It is obviously a public good. We've got, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we had limited choice. We had limited pathways. Now we've much more inclusive approach, more choice, more opportunity. But what you didn't envisage was that the challenge would not be for the most part around accessibility or the generation of choice. But the challenge now, increasingly for students, is around accommodation. And that's very disappointing. That's also very frustrating.
Is there any quick fix? Because obviously the long-term solution is part of the national long-term solution in the housing crisis, the bricks and mortar construction of more properties for people to live in, which has a knock-on effect on housing lists, it has a knock-on effect on homelessness, it has a knock-on effect on student accommodation. But that isn't going to solve the problems of people like Mary Kate, who have 2 weeks before they have to start their course. So is there anything that can be done short-term, Shane?
So, Anton, just to say to begin with is, in order to provide fixes, one of the things that you need to be aware of is what's causing this. And actually, it's manifold. It's flowing from different streams. And I'll actually talk then to you about where I think the fixes are. But the first issue is there is an acute lack of availability of private accommodation. Private landlords have left the market. And what we've also found post-pandemic is that host rooms have become less available. Now, we're ramping up on that, and I'll talk about a solution around that in a moment. But we're also seeing an increase in student numbers. And so, for example, over the last 2 years, the University of Limerick has taken on an additional 600 students at the government's behest. Now, that's the right thing to do because those students did their Leaving Cert through a pandemic, predicted grades, and all the challenges that that presented. So it was right that we make it more accessible and available as we can. But we also have the youngest and fastest growing population in Europe, and that's going to peak in 2030. Irish universities are also inherently attractive, Anton, internationally, and that's become aggravated as a result of Brexit. So English speakers in EU now find Irish universities really attractive, and that's helped by the fact that EU students do not get EU rates in the UK. And the issue of university accommodation has been a challenge for a long time. And I guess the first thing to say, Anton, is that, you know, universities are education providers and they've always seen themselves as that, and that's their statutory mandate. But what we see is increasingly they're taking more and more initiatives. Now, normally what would happen is, in terms of student accommodation, is that universities would provide between 10 and 12% student accommodation for its students. UL has always been a little bit higher in that regard, at 16%. One of the things that's difficult, and you're correct on this, is focusing on short-term solutions. To build student accommodation tomorrow, if the University of Limerick wanted to do it, it's a 4 to 5 year process. And if we want to create 500 rooms, you're talking costs. You're talking in excess of 100,000 per bed to build that. And so then you're looking, and other universities have faced this challenge and indeed have documented it. Then you're looking at price points which are completely unaffordable and unsustainable. So for me, the solutions are twofold. At the physical end, and creating bed spaces, and we've started to do this. We've actually gone out to the private market, and by September next year, We've purchased land with planning for 80 beds, which will be available next year. I think one of the crucial areas, and I think it was touched upon by the speaker from Mary Immaculate College, is digs and host rooms. They are really appealing. And if you look at the Limerick region, for example, we have three higher education institutions. Host rooms are going to be incredibly important because lots of households have host rooms. That's a real benefit for students, for all the reasons we just documented, Anton. But it's also a real benefit for hosts. And I think that, you know, your speak from Mary Immaculate College was really clear about that, tax-free up to 14,000. But also students can be provide a real benefit to those households in terms of, you know, keeping people company and so on. It's a really important benefit to the community as well. Just simply, Anton, I'm going to quote a figure to you, but the Irish Universities Association did a study in 2019 about the seven universities, and they contribute $8.9 billion a year to local economies. So that's the type of benefit that, you know, when students come, we have 18,000 students in the University of Limerick, that's the type of benefit that it brings to the local region. And then finally, it's a benefit to universities, and the frustrations I talked to you about earlier, you know, for the universities, seeing that students can't get accommodation is very real. And so if those host rooms can become available and more people provide them, I think in the short term, it's a really, really important, option that should be used. Well, and a second one...
I'm conscious of time, second one briefly, if you would, please, Shane.
So, Anton, you mentioned host rooms earlier, and students don't generally like digs and so on. I completely understand that. But I think we're going to have to, in the short term, also go back to a range of options. And one would be shared accommodation, twin rooms, dormitory-style accommodation. Now, I know it's not ideal, and last year at the University of Limerick, we had an initiative to provide an additional 473 beds on campus through through sharing. The students' bodies, for reasons that, you know, that it are clear, that they didn't like the lack of privacy associated with that, rejected the proposal. The difficulty is, Anton, in the short term, is that that would have been 473 beds that we would have had available this year that otherwise we can't generate. And to generate them, Anton, will take 5 years, and it will also take 50 million.
If we look at the kind of experience that Mary Kate is citing, the choice between sharing a room versus spending 6 hours on a bus every day may sharpen the mind as it gets closer. Professor Shane Kincummins, a provost and deputy president at the University of Limerick, thank you very much. Big thank you as well to Mary Kate Lacey, second year UCC art student, and to Aoife Gleeson, Mary Immaculate College Students Union president. 53106 if you want to get in touch with the show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.